Well, let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. If you are a visitor guest, it's an honor and privilege to have you here among us. For those of you who are catching this online, or maybe you're catching it through our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app, or maybe on the south side of the street, great to be with you as well. Well, last weekend we had our CA Students Weekend. Aren't you so grateful for our students and for our youth pastors? So yeah, grateful for what God is doing among them. And then this past week, some of you might have seen on social media that I was in Nashville. I had the honor and privilege to get to share a little bit about what God is doing through you all. And I got to brag about you all to about 3,500 leaders from about 54 different countries. Got to hear about what God is up to in the life of our church. And so wanted you to know about that. So proud of you. So honored that I get to be a small part of all that God is doing here among us. Well, we continue on this week in our series on the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and why that matters for your life. Now, I want to do a quick kind of congregational poll, so this is going to require you to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have received a gift card within the last 2 years as a gift. Anybody get a gift card? Last year's a gift, all right? So look around. Lots of people have received them. But if you are like most Americans, then you probably did not use all of the value of the gift card that you were given. You received it, but you didn't use it to its full potential. In fact, one study was done from the year of 2006 to 2011. On average, it showed that we Americans left an average of $8 billion with a B, $8 billion unused on gift cards. $8 billion. We're getting better. One more recent study showed that now we only leave $1 billion a year unused on gift cards. But $1 billion is a huge number, right? It's hard for us to even imagine how big that number is. To give you some sense of scale, Jesus was born 1 billion minutes ago. So when we say that we left $1 billion unused, why would we do that? Why would we leave that type of value not used every single year? Well, we can all guess the answers, right? We get busy and maybe we misplace the gift card. Maybe we use part of the gift card and there was only a little bit left and we didn't want to go back to that store. And maybe we even threw it in a drawer somewhere or threw it in the glove box of our car. We forgot that we even have it. Well, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the Holy Spirit empowers us, empowers those who believe in Jesus with spiritual gifts. And we looked at the spiritual gift of healing. This week, I want to focus on a different empowering gift that God gives us, and it can go underused as well because there are a lot of questions that are around this particular spiritual gift. It is called the gift of speaking in tongues. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for how you, even in this city of Los Angeles, poured out your Spirit in such a way that it really transformed people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, that you really renewed in fresh ways what you wanted to do on the earth. So Lord, we pray now as we come to your word, would you speak to us as we hear about how you want to empower us, Lord, with gifts. Would you speak to us about this gift of speaking in tongues, what it is, how it functions. And Lord, I pray that as we have this time together, we wouldn't only grow in understanding of who you are, but we would deepen our relationship with you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that we will use together as we track throughout our time. If you're catching it online, you can click there and see the notes as well. The first time anyone spoke in tongues in the Bible as a spiritual gift was in the book of Acts. Jesus had resurrected and he's now eating one of his meals with his disciples, and he commands them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he says this, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." A few days later, we pick up the story in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and on. It says this, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, they came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things that God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. Now remember that in our times together throughout this series, we are not only trying to grow in our understanding of the Holy Spirit, but we are trying to grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is unpack for you five things about this thing called the gift of speaking in tongues that will help you grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first thing is this, that speaking in tongues is often a mark of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We will unpack next week Acts chapter 2 more fully. Next Sunday is actually Pentecost Sunday. And so we will unpack that a little bit more, that passage. But for now, I just want you to see that speaking in tongues or speaking in other languages was a mark, often a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. All of the people that were in the upper room in this passage in Acts 2 were Jewish, but then we see the same thing happen later on in Acts chapter 10 with the people who were known as the Gentiles. So that's people that were not Jewish. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says this, "Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other languages and praising God." And it wasn't just them. We see it again later on in Acts chapter 19 when Paul meets 12 men who had not yet received the Holy Spirit, though they were followers of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus and they didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And so Paul lays his hands on him and prays for him, and they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the text tells us there in Acts 19 that that included speaking in tongues as well as prophesying. So speaking in tongues is often a mark or a sign of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to point number two. Speaking in tongues is not the only mark of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, speaking in tongues happens so often and is so often associated with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people throughout history have elevated this gift to say that it's the only evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. But a close reading of God's word shows us that speaking in tongues is not the singular, exclusive sign that a person has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. For example, when Peter tells the crowd what is happening in Acts chapter 2, he cites the prophet Joel and he says this, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit on my servants, men and women alike. They will prophesy." So prophecy, which I'm going to address later in the series, as well as visions and dreams, are listed as signs or evidence of God's Spirit being poured out upon His people. But there are other marks, too, throughout the New Testament. For example, consider the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So here what we see is he says, listen, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on and explains what it's going to look like if you are filled with the Spirit. And that includes singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks. That's also a mark of being baptized, filled with the Spirit. Joyfully submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ is also listed as a mark mark of being filled with the Spirit. Plus, we have talked about already earlier in the series about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So speaking in tongues is not the only mark of the Spirit's presence in our life. Also, we're told this in 1 Corinthians 12:27. It says, now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and God has appointed you, has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healings, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts and healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, in the Greek, each of those questions begins with a word that indicates that a negative answer is to be understood. And so every one of those questions that is listed there is to be understood when it says, you know, are all prophets? It's to be understood, no, not all are prophets. Are all teachers? No, not all are teachers. Do all speak in tongues? No, not all speak in tongues. God will pour out His Holy Spirit on followers of Jesus who seek Him, asking the Father to give them the good gift of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that all who are baptized with the Holy Spirit will be given the exact same gifts. Tongues will often accompany the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but that is not the exclusive evidence as we've seen in Scripture. The third thing we would see about tongues is this, is that when it comes to speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues, you have to receive and exercise the gift of tongues by faith. Now, this is actually true of all the spiritual gifts that are listed that the Holy Spirit gives. But it seems to me, after 25 years of pastoring people, that for whatever reasons, we have kind of a certain sublist of spiritual gifts that we think should operate in a way that is different than the other spiritual gifts that maybe we think are more normal in some ways. And so that subset of gifts that we tend to separate tend to be gifts like of speaking in tongues and healing and prophecy. Now, when I was in high school, I started a landscaping business to make some money. And initially, it was just about trimming hedges and cutting grass. But one of my clients asked me, they said, listen, would you cut down those two huge maple trees that are near the back of their property? And at the time, I didn't own a chainsaw. You know, I had a lawnmower and hedge clippers, but I knew hedge clippers weren't going to do the job for these maple trees. And so I knew that I would probably need a chainsaw to get the job done. Now, I could have done it with an axe, and I did own an axe, but these trees were so big and so tall, it was going to require me to climb up in the tree and limb the trees and everything, that I knew that I probably needed to get a chainsaw. So I happened to say to one of my mentors, I said, you know, I got to find a chainsaw somewhere. I wish I had a chainsaw. And the next day before I had a chance to go out and buy one, he actually showed up at one of the other landscaping jobs I was working at, and he brought me a chainsaw to use, right? He said, here, I brought this for you as a gift. You can use it. And I said that I wanted it as a gift, and he heard that, and then he chose to give me a chainsaw as a gift. But I had never actually used a chainsaw before, so now I had to learn how to use a chainsaw before I got 30 feet up in the air climbing around on a tree, right? Now, here's what I didn't think. I didn't think like this. Well, if my mentor had really given me a chainsaw, it would just start itself, and it would jump into my hands, and it would magically position itself at the exact angle at the tree that it needs to be at. It would all just kind of magically happen. No, I was given this gift, but then I needed to learn how to take hold of it and receive it and learn how to exercise it and use it. You see, when it comes to speaking in tongues, as well as prophecy, healing, and deliverance, I've noticed that people who tend to ask for these gifts, they tend to think that something uncontrollable is going to take them over, and then all of a sudden it's just going to kind of happen. And so what happens is we end up with these two polar extremes. On one hand, we have people that say, well, you know, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me the gift of speaking in tongues, but I didn't fall into a trance all of a sudden, and I didn't magically start speaking in other languages, so I guess I don't have that gift. So you think either I have the gift or I don't, on the other extreme. So people think, well, I asked and nothing uncontrollable happened, so I guess that means God doesn't want to give me that gift. But I'm convinced that there's another option that many of us don't consider, which is this, is that you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the gift, and the Holy Spirit is giving you the gift you asked for, but now you need to receive it and exercise it by faith. You might be thinking, yeah, but Tom, if it was real, then wouldn't it just take control of me and I wouldn't be able to stop it? Well, the chainsaw my friend gave me was real, but it didn't just take control of me. I had to pick it up and begin to learn how to use it. What if we thought that way that we think about tongues, if we thought that way about other spiritual gifts? It seems kind of weird if we apply that same thinking. Consider the spiritual gift of helps. Well, I prayed for the Holy Spirit to give me the spiritual gift of helps, but, you know, I'm expecting that if he's going to give me the spiritual gift of helps, he will just make me get up against my will and be helpful. And so since he didn't make me get up against my will and be helpful, and I just sat here my lazy boy and I didn't help anybody, I guess I must not have the spiritual gift of helps. Or consider the gift of mercy. Well, you know, I asked God to give me the spiritual gift of mercy, but, you know, the Holy Spirit, I'm expecting, would just kind of come upon me and all of a sudden make me merciful, you know, and I'm going to kind of just grit my teeth, but he's going to unclench my jaw, and all of a sudden I'm just going to do merciful things against my will in Jesus' name. No, that's not how it works. For example, I believe, and others have affirmed, that God has given me the spiritual gift of teaching, but I want you to know that I have a choice. I can either choose to stand up here and teach, or I can choose not to stand up here and teach. It's not like something comes upon me and I have no control over what I do. In fact, that is why Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and they can take turns. You see, when you receive a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit, you are still in control of your spirit and you are still in control of your body. So what that means is that any spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given you requires you to engage your faith by your will. Now, the natural question then becomes this. But what if the Holy Spirit just doesn't want to give me that gift? I mean, what if I ask the Holy Spirit, I want to receive the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and he just doesn't want to give it to me? Well, here's my answer to that. Ask him if he wants to give you that gift. Ask God if he wants to give you that gift. That's what I do. I ask God to speak to me in a way that I can understand so that he would confirm if he wants to give me the spiritual gift that I have asked him for. And I keep on asking him for that spiritual gift until I either have the faith to begin to start to use it or I receive an answer from God saying, that's not the gift I want to give to you. Now, let me share my own experience with the gift of speaking in tongues with you. At this point in my story, I was already a follower of Jesus. In fact, I not only was following Jesus, but God had called me into occupational ministry. I had stepped out, moved from Pittsburgh to Charleston, South Carolina. I started a student ministries from scratch in a small church of about 100 adults. And we started seeing, about 2 years in, we started seeing a growing number of students coming to Christ. We saw parents coming to Christ. There was traction happening. People were giving their lives to the Lord. It was really quite amazing. Good stuff was happening. But through a series of events, I met a man who became eventually a mentor to me. His name was Steve Wood. And one night at his church, different church, not the one that I was on staff at, they had a Wednesday evening service. So I went that one night. And they had an opportunity after the service to be prayed for, whatever you might want to be prayed for, just like we have after all of our services, a chance to be prayed for by a prayer team. And so I went up front and I was directed to a prayer team. And the prayer team, you know, it was a number of different people, but who I got directed to were two older women who were praying for me. And so I asked them, would you pray for me that I would be filled with God's Holy Spirit and receive the gift of tongues? And then this is where things started to get weird. One of them said, yes, we'll do that. And so she said, close your eyes. So I closed my eyes. She said, turn your hands up. I turned my hands up. And then she started pushing on my forehead like this. And I did the most spiritual thing I need to do. I stiffened my neck and clenched my jaw, and I leaned forward like this. So she wasn't able to push my head backwards, right? So then the other lady grabbed my palms and she said, give me your palms. And I said, well, here are my palms. And she began to move my palms all over every direction there was. And she would gently kind of push me backwards while the other older lady was trying to push me backwards, you know. And I'm like 25 at the time. And so I said, time out. I said, could you help me understand what's going on? And they're like, well, you asked us to pray that you would receive more of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and so we're helping you do that. I said, okay, well, this seems weird to me, but I'm going to roll with it just a bit longer. And so they try again, and one of the women says this to me. She says, oh, God just gave me the first few phrases of your gift of tongues, and here's the phrase, and you just need to start repeating this phrase. Now, at this point, I called a full stop, and I said, wait a second. You're telling me that I came, and I asked God to give me a gift, and God didn't give me the gift, but he gave you the gift that he wants to give me. He gave you the phrase that I'm supposed to have. Why would he give you my gift? And I turned to the other woman, and I said, and why do you keep pushing on my forehead? I don't understand that. So they told me, they said, listen, I think your problem is that you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I'm resisting something, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. I actually came up and I asked you to pray that God would fill me even more. I don't know how that's really resisting the Holy Spirit. I believe I'm being open to the Holy Spirit, but I believe you are being weird and you're doing weird tactics, right? And then I left and I turned around. I was like, well, okay. And I met with Steve, the senior pastor who had become a mentor to me. I explained what happened, and he apologized, and he said, I'm so sorry for those weird tactics. I'll retrain the prayer teams. But then I said, Steve, you know, would you pray for me? And he just laid hands on me in a normal way. He didn't push my forehead or anything. He just put his hands on my shoulders, and he prayed for me. And nothing really seemed to happen in that moment. About 3 to 4 months later, I had continued praying, seeking the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a greater way, and I was in a worship service. We were in this service, we were all praying out loud, thanking God, laying out our prayer requests, and then I ran out of things to thank God for. And I ran out of things to pray for. It's not so much that I ran out of them. I felt like there was more in me that I wanted to pray, but I didn't quite know the words to say. And I remember praying for a couple students, and I had prayed everything I knew to pray, but I felt kind of like I wish I could say more, but I didn't know exactly what to say. And as the worship continued to happen, that urge to pray without knowing what the words were that I was to say continued to the point that I began to pray in tongues. And as best I can describe it, is it kind of bubbled up from within me. But here's the thing, I could have stopped it. And I remember letting it happen. And I remember my wife Allison being right next to me, and afterwards she said, did you pray in tongues? Were you praying in tongues? Is that? Because she knew that I was asking God, God, would you give me that gift, right? I could have stopped it. Later, I had a bunch of doubts. Well, you know, maybe I just made that all up. Maybe it's all just me. Maybe that wasn't really the Holy Spirit giving me that gift. How do I know I'm not going crazy? Maybe I'm like becoming emotionally unstable. What's going on in my life? And so I didn't pray for quite some time in tongues again. But then one day I was praying not in tongues, and I felt the Lord speak to my heart, and he said, Tom, why do you doubt me? You asked me for that gift. You have constantly sought me for it, and I've given it to you. But now you must receive it and walk by faith with it, just like all the other parts of following me. As I reflected, I knew that I have the spiritual gift of teaching, and so I knew that though I have that gift, I also have to walk by faith. And so actually, every time I stand anywhere where I teach, the last thing I think before I begin to speak is the words of Scripture that says, let those who speak, speak as though they speak the very word of God. And I do that as an act of faith. Like, God, I'm trusting that you've given me the message that you want to share with whoever might come and gather for this teaching. So even a gift of teaching requires a measure of faith to be used with it. If I spend all my time doubting if God has really given me that gift, then I wouldn't teach anything at all. And I wouldn't teach with any conviction at all. And so for me, it's the same with speaking in tongues. You have to receive it and then exercise your faith and will like you would with any other gift. And so I've been doing that. Praying in tongues is a regular part of my personal devotional and prayer life. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says it this way, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying." See, though I don't understand what I am saying, I can sense in some type of mystical way that I'm being strengthened personally as my spirit prays to God. And because speaking in tongues is so often associated with declaring the praises of God and so often associated with worship, I trust that part of my speaking in tongues is praising God. As 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." So I find that when I speak in tongues, it strengthens my personal devotion. In fact, it's interesting. They recently did a brain scan study on people who speak in tongues. While they were speaking in tongues, they were doing a brain scan on these individuals. And what it confirmed is that when people speak in tongues, it activates the area of the brain that has to do with positive experience, including the increasing of self-confidence. You know, it's interesting how science backs up what Scripture says. The person who speaks in tongues is strengthening themselves. And maybe you feel a bit skeptical and you might wonder if people who speak in tongues are just emotionally unstable. Well, there was another study done in England that found that those who engage in the practice of speaking in tongues were actually more emotionally stable than the general population, which also kind of correlates with Scripture when it says that those who speak in tongues are strengthening themselves. As Paul writes, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. Brings me to the fourth thing, and I think this is a big misconception. Speaking in tongues is not necessarily a sign of spiritual maturity. Sometimes some people can think that those who speak in tongues are somehow more mature spiritually than others. Now, I don't often hear this from people who speak, have the gift of speaking in tongues. Instead, I usually hear it from people who don't have the gift but would like to have it. And they will say things like this, "I just don't know if I'm at that level yet." Following Jesus is not like Scientology. There's not levels to it. Okay? Right? There's not levels to it. You're not trying to clear your thetan or anything else like that, right? You're not at that level yet? Well, actually, if you are at the level where you're willing to say, "God, I'm asking you to give me this gift," then that's enough. People will say, "I just don't know if I'm at that level." But the Scriptures never speak of it that way. In the church in the city of Corinth, many of the people spoke in tongues, but Paul also states to them, when he's speaking to them about speaking in tongues, he calls them babies in Christ. So they all speak in tongues, but they're babes in Christ. So it's not a sign of maturity per se. And spiritual gifts are certainly important, but we must never become proud of them. As Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 21 and on, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" See, God wants to give us spiritual gifts, including tongues and prophecy and deliverance and other miracles. But the goal of all of that is to serve the greatest good of doing the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven. Brings us to the fifth and final thing, which is this. The gift of tongues is a gift to use, not a badge to wear. Strangely, in some churches, having the gift of tongues can create kind of an insider-outsider club, and that's weird to me because the whole point of spiritual gifts is to build one another up, not to generate cliques. So if you look down upon people who speak in tongues, maybe you don't speak in tongues, you know someone who does, and you look down upon them, then you need to stop looking down upon them. Or maybe you speak in tongues and you look down upon people who don't speak in tongues, then you also need to stop doing that. Thankfully, I don't think that actually happens all that often here at Christian Assembly, and I'm grateful for that. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." And remember, all the spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues, are to be done in a context of love for one another. Every single time the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, it also talks about faith and love. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, where Paul's writing and talking a lot about tongues there, he says, look, if I could speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, I'm not going to address the context of love in this series because we just did an entire series called The Greatest of These, so you can listen to that on our podcast or website or app if you missed it. But let me close with Paul's concluding words on prophecy and tongues to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. We'll talk about prophecy in the coming weeks. My dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Let's pray. Before we come to this communion table, I want to give you a chance to respond to God's word. Sometimes when you hear somebody's story, like you hear my story, it's easy to begin to think, well, yeah, but that's you and not me. And you begin to kind of draw lines of separation rather than allowing the person's story to say, hey, maybe that could be for me too. I want you to hear that this promise of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that promise is for you too, if you're a follower of Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, Peter concluded his message by saying to the crowd, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, to all who have been called by the Lord our God. There's a mystery to this reality called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But what I do know is that Jesus tells us that we can ask the Father to send us the good gift of the Holy Spirit. And I do know that the promise is made to all who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Some of you, you're like me. I was following Jesus, and good things were happening. People were coming to Christ. But I sensed that God had more for me, that there was something more for me. And so I sought after it in prayer and conversations with mentors. I prayed. I had others pray for me. I went up after every service for a while. I had people lay hands on me and pray for me that I would receive all of what the Holy Spirit wanted to give me. You know, to this day, I regularly pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me afresh. And if that's you, if you want that in your life, if you maybe for the first time are saying, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't know if I've ever had a personal Pentecost. Or maybe you have and you just kind of feel like, I want a fresh filling of God's Spirit. The book of Acts talks about being baptized, but also talks about being filled again and again with God's Spirit. If that's you, you're like, hey, that's me. I want either for the first time to just ask God to baptize me with this Holy Spirit, or I want to ask God to fill me afresh. Right where you are, if that's you, you can just put your hand up. And I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Just pop your hand up right where you are. And so, Lord, you see the hands that are popping up, even those that will see this online, those that will see this in the morning. Lord, I just pray now for each hand, each person that's saying, that's me. Lord, would you give them the good gift of your Holy Spirit? Would you baptize them with your Holy Spirit? Would you give them all of who you are and what you want for them? Every spiritual gift you want to give them. Would you give them all the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control? Lord, I pray for them that as you give them your spiritual gifts that you have for them. Maybe they're asking you for one. Would they have the faith to pick it up and learn about it and begin to use it by faith. You can put your hands down. Also, maybe some of you feel like, look, I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I really would like to ask God to give me the gift of tongues. Maybe you don't have that gift and you want to ask God for that gift. You can ask God for spiritual gifts. We've already talked about that. It tells us to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Well, why would it say that if he doesn't want us to ask? So you can ask for any gift, including speaking in tongues. And some of you, if you want that gift, then right now, just right where you are, just ask him, God, this is the spiritual gift I'm asking for. Maybe it's tongues, maybe it's prophecy, maybe it's leadership, maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's in areas of creativity like we read about in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit gave, maybe it's other spiritual gifts. Others of you, maybe you asked before for the gift of tongues, but you had an assumption about how it worked, and so since you didn't kind of fall into a trance and it didn't just overtake you, you thought you weren't given it, but maybe it's given sometimes like a chainsaw. You ask for it, but then you need to pick it up and take hold of it and exercise it by faith. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to ask mature believers who speak in tongues how the gift works and operates in their life. It's like any other spiritual gift. You have to learn how to use it. You have to grow in it, and you have to walk by faith in it. And then, as God's word says, you have to fan it into full flame. And when you do it, use it, but use it decently and in order, but use it, and use it in the context of love. So, Lord, now, even before we come to the prayer ministry nights on Wednesday and Thursday, I ask now, would you release all the gifts that you have for us? Pray for gift of tongues and for healing. Even reports of healings coming back. Just in the last 2 weeks, people getting healed in this church. Lord, all the gifts you have, we pray that you'd give them to us and that we would receive them and learn to operate in them by faith. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that. You can say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to take all of my sin to the cross and forgive me. And I want him to not only give me a second chance, I want him to give me a new nature. You can say, Jesus, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the desire to know you and do your will and the Father's will. And if you prayed that prayer, if you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, would you let me know, one of the other pastors, maybe let a friend that you came with, we'd love to celebrate with you. Your first step is to be baptized in water, and we will help you with that process. As we come to the communion table on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. And what are we remembering? We're remembering that apart from Jesus, there is no way for us to be made right with God. But because of his grace and his mercy, he's come. He laid down everything, took our place on the cross, paid the penalty for us so that we could be made right with God, that we could be made new and live with him forever. So ushers are about to come. As they come, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome. Remember what Christ has done for you. Confess your sin. Be grateful for his work. And knowing that you're forgiven, you can eat the cracker, drink the juice, set the empty cup right back in the container. And so now, Lord, we pray that you would take these common elements and you would use them in your mystical way. As we meet with you, would you commune with us? Would you speak to us? As we feed upon you in our hearts with faith and thanksgiving in Jesus' name, amen.